Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, wanted to hop on real quick before we get into today's episode and let y'all know that the next fasting challenge is upon us. It's coming up on July 26th through August 1st. And we are calling this one Master Your Fasting Challenge, a VIP experience. So it's a little different twist on the previous challenges that we've run, but we have been doing this for long enough now that we've started to see some trends in what makes a successful fasting lifestyle stick. So during this 7 days that you spend with us, we're gonna be leveling up your fasting skill set. We're gonna be talking about mindset and habit formation and how to make fasting a viable solution to your weight and health goals. So don't miss out. Head to the show notes for more information, dates, times, frequently asked questions. It's in the show notes. Head there now, click the link. We absolutely want to see you get the best results that you possibly can through your fasting efforts. And this Master Your Fasting Challenge, a VIP experience, is going to deliver. We can guarantee that. So head to the show notes, click the link, and we'll see you on the inside. Now to today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Excited for today's conversation. We're going to take a different tact or a different approach or a different viewpoint from the age-old question that we get oh so often is, hey, I've been fasting. I want to lose weight. What's the best fasting schedule? What schedule should I follow? I'm intermittent fasting. I've tried some this, I've tried some that.
I love that.
Like, what is the best fasting schedule? So we're going to tap into it coming from a little different perspective today. And we're going to talk a lot about one of the main drivers of insulin and weight loss resistance, which then drives metabolic syndrome and cardiometabolic issues and disease processes, lifestyle disease processes here in the United States specifically. And now we're starting to see it all across the world. But this topic of sleep and how it affects our food choices and our activity levels and our mindset and our fasting windows. So with that being said, welcome into today's episode. We're going to reference some articles as well. They'll be in the show notes if you want to click those and dive a little bit deeper. But we want to leave you with something actionable as well. So if you're a first-time listener, each and every episode, we try to leave you with one or two main action steps that you can do to adopt a fasting lifestyle, lose the weight for good, improve those blood markers, reverse those disease processes, and improve your quality of life. That is why we call it Fasting for Life and a lifestyle adaptation. So welcome in. If you want to hear more about Tommy and I's journey and how fasting has transformed our lives and why we come to you each and every week with an episode, because we are on a mission to empower people that they can lose the weight once and for all, regain their health, and that they are in complete control, that you have a choice when it comes to your lifestyle and the results that you get. And fasting, episode one, we hash out how it worked for us. And then all along this journey of 180 plus episodes, we unpack all of the nuanced, cool things that we like, some research, some lifestyle, some questions. Mm-hmm. So welcome in, head back to episode one if you're a new listener. Check it out. It's about 30 minutes. We just ask you for a little bit of grace because it was our first episode that we ever did. So
yeah,
if you're a long-term listener, welcome back. And hopefully today's conversation just hits a little bit different when it comes to answering that age-old question. What's the best fasting schedule, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that one out. No.
Right?
I mean, it's such a common question. No, I still get it. Like day-to-day, people will ask me that all the time. Like, hey, you know, I heard about the whole fasting thing. What's the best one to do?
Did you get identified in public the other day as like the fasting guy by someone? Or was that a friend? Or was that you? Was that you that was
Yeah. I have a couple of times, and my wife too, like at the gym a couple of times.
Yeah, that's what it was.
A few places. Yeah. Yeah. Out in the grocery store.
Don't break the first two rules of fasting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of fun because
most people have heard something about fasting at this point. But at the same time, there's so many questions because, you know, there's so many different ways to skin a cat, as they say. There's a lot of different angles and different ways to look at it. So when we talk about what the best schedule is, literally the best schedule today is whichever one I'm going to be able to do today and to stick to and to make a hard line in the sand, a good solid decision that I'm committed to. That's my best decision for today. And let's not worry about my best decision even tomorrow, let alone a week or a month or a year from now. So let's stop trying to have like a one size fits all. This is the best one. This is the only one I'm ever going to need. And then let me just worry about making a decision today, because sometimes if I get too concerned about tomorrow or next year, I'm really just procrastinating the important decision that I need to make right now, today, and to stick with it.
So some of y'all that are listening might be thinking, oh, they're not going to answer the question. What's the best fasting schedule? If you're looking for fasting schedules, we have a spreadsheet that has over 120 different fasting schedules.
Right.
Talk about obsessing back in the day. Oh, the schedule's the solution. Right. Nope, it's the application of the schedule that's the solution that you were just alluding to.
Yes.
So we do have a handful of schedules that we follow that we find that work well, you know, with coaching. And but here's the thing, they're in the blueprint to fasting for fat loss. So go ahead and head to the show notes, click the link, download it. We give you different fasting schedules, how to ramp up your fasting efforts if you're new or if you've fallen off track, how to increase those fasting windows, et cetera. So that's a free resource inside the show notes. Just click the link and we'll zoom it over into your inbox. So Tommy, today's conversation about what's the ideal fasting schedule and this connection to sleep and stress and food. And for me, it was the trifecta. So I had insulin resistance. So I had hormonal imbalances, right? So I had insulin, which was out of whack, but wasn't coming up on any of my other lab metrics, but my blood pressure was high. My cholesterol was a little bit off. I wasn't feeling good. I had the big belly, even though I could, you know, lift a bunch of weights and do a lot of CrossFit workouts.
Sure. A1C was good.
A1C was good. Goalposts. Fasting blood sugar was still good, but I was still not able to lose the weight and keep it off. And, you know, stuff started ticking up into the mid-30s, into the late-30s. And then sleep and stress were the other two. So these are drivers of insulin resistance. So you don't realize how much a poor night of sleep can affect your food choices, your cravings, your hormones, et cetera. Your body's glucose tolerance or insulin sensitivity just based on poor sleep. So there's an article that came across our purview, and it was based on chrononutrition practices and weight loss. So we had to go look up like, what is chronotypes? What are they? And the study that came across, it was interesting because it was, there wasn't like a big, holy moly, statistical significance because it was an observational study in the Journal of Chronobiology. And it was the improvement in chrononutrition is associated with robust weight loss outcomes, an extension of a feasibility study. So it was a follow-up from this big feasibility study that was done. And it's looking at nutrition or timing of meals based off of your chronotype. Now, chronotypes, to me, they've been studied since the 1970s. And we want to talk more about the underlying driver of chronotypes, because chronotypes is kind of like the personality type of your sleeping behaviors. So either you're
like a love language, like what's your love language?
Yeah, like you're like it's the psychological application of, right? So it's not something that I know a lot about or have done like researched a lot, right? I just know that there's four different types, right? And they're based on animals. They're based on your, like you're an early bird or you're a night owl, like, right? Okay. That kind of old school mindset. But there's really four. It's more of like a spectrum, kind of depending on where you fall. I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is the emerging evidence, and this is from the sleepfoundation.org, shows that your chronotype likely has a strong genetic component, among other things, having a longer allele on the PER3 circadian clock gene.
Interesting.
Is related to the morningness category or morning type, awake, alert in the morning, pop right out of bed. That's me.
Wow.
And then if you have a shorter allele, then you kind of fall into one of those other categories of chronotypes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the point of this is that the underlying relationship to the circadian rhythm or the circadian clock, and we've done episodes before on shift work, you know, and how the increased risk of cardiovascular issues and disease processes just based on the fact that you're sleeping opposite of when the sun is up.
Or trying
to adapt and live like not a zombie, right?
Yeah. You're basically like kicking out one of the legs of the three-legged stool for, you know, losing weight and maintaining control over that. You're like kicking out one of the legs, which is like you may not have a choice when that happens, or you know, the fact that you're a shift worker, you can't just adjust your schedule for it. So understanding that and what the implications are for my insulin sensitivity and or resistance means I'm going to need to get my fasting timer right, and I'm going to need to get my plates right most of the time, because I'm not going to get sleep right most of the time. So I had better be on point with those other ones.
Yep. And the research shows that, like, they've come up with questionnaires about this circadian rhythm chronotype relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the morning eveningness questionnaire and the Munich chronotype questionnaire, and they each have their different angles, and they're really just trying to elucidate or shine some light on your basic behavioral patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they found relationships between that and underlying disease processes due to sleep deprivation or, you know, sleep apnea, obesity, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndromes in people that tend to be more in the evening category or the evening chronotype, right?
Yeah.
So sleep hygiene, circadian rhythm, all relates back to this observational study that had a couple of cool takeaways, but it's an observational study. So we're not going to, you know, put it up there in the gold standard category of, whoa, like super sure. impactful outcomes. But there were some cool takeaways from this that can relate directly back to what you were just talking about, which is, when should I set my timer? What can I expect, you know, after a night of indulgence or some poor food choices or a night of poor sleep? Or do you always feel like you're just setting your timer for dinner, OMAD, and you're not making any progress? Because we hear a lot from people, hey, this is what I'm doing. Why was it working? And why isn't it working now?
Dinner OMAD is tricky too, but back up a step, because if you are in the dinner OMAD and that's your comfort zone, or that's what you've been doing for a little while, are you still setting your timer? Or did you give up making a decision about this? And then it's kind of like, oh, it's kind of automatic, you know? Has slippage come in? Has your comfort zone expanded to a point where it's kind of like, yeah, I'm very comfortable with this, but then at the same time, I'm no longer paying attention to some of the details, so I'm not as careful about them? Because that it might not necessarily be a plateau. It might be slippage that you didn't necessarily realize. That happened to me several times. And it was like, it could take a little while to kind of understand that. So even just knowing, like, if you're more active and alert earlier in the day versus later in the day, because if you have trouble with sleep hygiene and really like getting a good night's sleep and having like sleep discipline, if that's kind of out of the realm of how you think, then you might fall into the category of more likely to have dinner. It might be a later dinner. And then is that when some of your worst foods come into play? Because it's either, you know, eating out or fast food or something like that, or is it a slippery slope, sweet and salty later in the evening? Because the insulin spike, let alone the other things like caloric density that comes in later, those are going to be adding to my long-term fat stores and can be very, very difficult to tap back into at some point, because those calories weren't needed during the day. And the rest or lack thereof that I get going into tomorrow means I might not have a lot of energy to burn those off tomorrow either. So where's my time? When am I going to get a chance to burn those off? That can be a problem that compounds over time.
And it's just really kind of figuring out the puzzle pieces for you as a long-term, you know, solution. Because fasting is powerful. It adapts to any lifestyle. However you, I mean, it's really the most fluid type approach, in our opinion, to...
Yeah, that's why we love it.
Yeah, because it just simplifies. Once you get some reps, it simplifies your day-to-day. So a couple of cool outcomes from that observational study, it just was that consuming a higher proportion of total daily energy and protein intake earlier in the day was associated with greater weight loss. So it was a small study, nice. 91 participants, 75% women, 25% men, either overweight or obese, living in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And the participants in the morning chronotype, the chrononutrition type, were instructed to consume 75% of their calories and stop by lunch, where the evening chronotype, based on those circadian rhythm patterns, were instructed to consume only 60% of their calories in the early window, meaning that they conserved more of their calories later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the significance, the participants, so the significant cutoff here was if it was a success, if you lost more than 3% of your initial body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed that those results happened in the early chronotype group, as well as the higher protein group, which is something that we've been kind of diving into more and recommending more frequently.
For sure. Yeah, because as far as the satiation factor, the insulin or lack of blood insulin, the lower insulin.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So much more stable. And then thus the craving stability or craving reduction. And then, you know, especially going into the evening time, like I was just speaking about, if your cravings are better controlled going into those later evening hours, especially if you don't have great sleep hygiene or that's something that you need to work on or you are working on, it becomes so much more doable, you know, to start working on that. And what I also found was interesting was the better results came within the groups who were practicing a shorter daily eating window as well. So, you know, like, because if you're...
But hold on.
If you're,
so that yeah. shorter, I just want to highlight, we try so much in the dieting culture and then you transfer that into the fasting application, the fasting yeah. lifestyle approach, where we have to be so perfect.
Yes.
The shorter daily eating window based in this study was 48 minutes difference.
Yeah.
You want to drive yourself crazy? Focus on that. We're going to zoom out here in just a second. Keep going. 48 minute difference.
Timing each minute. So
versus, you know, success, like, or versus non-success.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, that could be the difference between having a 6 p.m. dinner versus a 7 p.m. dinner. Or a 5 p.m. Yep. or a 5:15 versus a 6 p.m. But on average, like, that's enough to where you're making a difference, especially in the evening time when you have higher cumulative insulin and you're more insulin resistant getting later into yep. the day, especially if that's when you have, you know, higher carbohydrates or maybe there's some alcohol involved later on in the day, that the physiological effects are already magnified. So if you can buy yourself an additional 48 minutes to process through some of that evening food before you're getting into your sleep cycle, you might have just increased that by 20 or 30% worth of additional digestive processing time before you're trying to go into your sleep cycle. And as small and kind of insignificant as it sounds, like, just with my logical brain, you know, just thinking about it, like, oh, that's not going to be enough to move the needle, right? But no, it absolutely is. It's substantial and it's cumulatively beneficial over time.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, wanted to take a second and tell you just an incredible story about an amazing company that we've come across recently. And now they are a sponsor of our show. It's airdoctorpro.com. You can head to the website, use a promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off. But most importantly, my little guy, my two-year-old, has not slept consistently through the night since he was born. We have tried everything you can imagine. He is our third child. And we're just like, what is happening? So we have gone to great lengths, time, money, and effort to figure out how we can help him sleep. And the reality is, we're pretty much just resigned to the fact that this is how it's going to be until we put the Air Doctor Pro in his room. And I am not joking when I tell you, the first night that we put it in his room, he slept through the night. The second night, slept through the night. Now we're up to 35 plus days that he has slept through the night. He has only woken up two times rather than two, three times a night, two times in the last 35 days and counting. And we are just so incredibly grateful. The reality is, we had a feeling that it was something that we were missing. And the indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air these days. In some cases, up to 100 times more. We spend 90% of our time indoors and we take 20,000 breaths a day. So what's the solution? An air purifier, a cut above the rest. I'm not going to lie. We have tried others. We've tried other HEPA filters. We've tried other air filters. We have spent the money and they have not done the results that Air Doctor did in literally the first day that we put it in his room. They filter out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. That includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. So I don't know what it was that was keeping them up, but it is now gone. So Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com, use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off air purifiers, an exclusive listener offer for you as well. You'll receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. That's exclusive to you, the podcast listener, now hearing this in real time. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE. You guys know that we are very particular with who we partner with. And if it wasn't for this incredible company and this, the incredible results that we've seen, I would not be encouraging you to head to the website and take advantage of the Fasting for Life promo code. So if you support our sponsors, you are ultimately supporting us. We are grateful for you listening in. And now back to today's episode.
Well, that's that whole 1% better every day, 38 times farther along on your journey or towards your goal exactly. by the end of a year.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that every single night, or if you've had a plateau and now you're stuck yeah. and now you're going to regress back to the old habits because, man, I'm frustrated and it's not working anymore. I might as well just stop, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and that's why some of the, a lot of the, you know, look at the low carb studies in diabetics at that 2 year mark, the weights come back plus some and the HbA1c is back up again because it wasn't sustainable. So there was another article that was linked in this, and it was Food Timing, Circadian Rhythm and Chrononutrition, a systemic review of time-restricted eating's effect on human health. So I want to go big picture here for a second. When we're looking at, they looked at studies from January 2014 through September 2020, evaluating the effects of time-restricted eating, so TRE, on human populations. 494 articles collected, 23 were included for analysis. They found that an overall adherence rate to time-restricted eating, aka what's the ideal fasting window, was 80%, with an unintentional 20% reduction in caloric intake.
Wow.
So TRE induced an average weight loss of 3% and a loss of fat mass. This fat loss was also observed without any caloric restriction.
Wow. Nice.
Interestingly, TRE, time-restricted eating, produced beneficial metabolic effects independently of weight loss, because we've done a lot of these studies and talked about them on previous episodes, suggesting an intrinsic effect based on the realignment of feeding and the circadian clock.
Yeah.
Conclusions. TRE is a simple and well-tolerated they say diet, lifestyle, that generates many beneficial effects based on the chrononutrition principles. More rigorous studies are needed, however, et cetera, to confirm that they understand their mechanisms. I'm over here going, well, if it works, it works. Continue to do it. Right. So the encouraging thing here is if you're still searching for the ideal fasting schedule, you need to try different things. So we've had this question all the time. Can I just do OMAD? Sure. For some people, OMAD is going to be a great weight loss, fat loss strategy. For some people, OMAD isn't going to move the needle in terms of lifestyle change or habit change, or it might be feeding into old patterns that don't allow you to see the results you need to see in order to want to keep going. It can be maintenance for some. It can be fat loss for others. It's an individualized journey. And that's why the age-old question of what's the best fasting schedule, Tommy, you said it right from the get-go. It's the one that you know you can commit to. And then walking it out is where the consistency piece comes into play.
Yeah. And not being afraid that the plan might need to change at some point, you know, because I
don't change it every 2 days either.
Right.
Okay. That's not what we're saying. Don't move it 48 minutes earlier just based on that observational study.
Yeah. But if dinner time is at 7 o'clock, try 6 o'clock, you know, for sure. I was speaking to someone just a couple of days ago who was kind of going through the same thing where they were starting to realize that OMAD dinner was their comfort zone and it was family dinner and it was, you know, social time, sitting around the table and things like that. But at the same time, she had begun to realize that she was more of like an early riser, like a earlier in the day. That was more aligned with her kind of circadian, you know, rhythm and just her habits. And that's how she had always been. And so she said, I'd been experimenting with some breakfast OMADs recently and realized that even though I didn't used to be like super hungry at breakfast time, it was still like she was feeling better all throughout the day. So she turned her dinner time into more of like just the connection. Now she's in charge of the food and, you know, it's serving everybody and things like that, but she's not generally eating then and she's feeling better. And guess what? All of a sudden, even though she's not really eating anything differently, the scale started moving again. It's little things like that where it was kind of counterintuitive and it was also contradictory to some of her, like, yeah, I don't want to say social pressure, but like her household norms, you know, just her connection with her family. But, you know, she had to do something a little bit different to start seeing new results.
We hear that sometimes too. Well, OMAD dinner is just easier, right? It's easier if it gets you results. It's not easier if you stay stuck where you are.
Yeah, it just feels easier in the moment.
Yeah.
it's easier to handle all of the life stuff, but it may not be easier for or what you need to truly move the needle. So
yeah, but yeah, it's not worth it if I'm beating myself up all day long because I'm not making any progress here.
Right. 100%. So the encouraging piece here is step back for a second, zoom out. We know TRE works. We know the power of fasting. Fasting has so many additional health benefits. It's completely transformed our lives, Tommy. So many of the people that we talk to, So many of the messages that we receive. And I had someone recently email in just from the podcast, because we talk a lot about weight loss and dieting culture and all that kind of stuff, right?
Of course.
Trying to lose the weight and feel more confident and look better in the bathing suit because it's, you know, hotter than the sun down here in Houston, Texas right now. I'm still working on that visceral fat that I got those last few pounds around the midsection. That looks a lot better now than it did 4 years ago. I'll tell you that. Right. Well, I'll ask my wife, but hopefully she would say that. But we have an email that we send out where it talks about control. Control what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let your highs be too highs or your lows be too low, right? So I think I understand that conceptually, right? So this is a story of one of my mentors or coaches that's talking about controlling what you can control and don't let your highs be too high or lows be too low or your fasting times be too long and your feasting times be too great. But it's a work in progress to try to figure out that control. So the same goes for health and weight loss, right? Control comes back to you when you value it, when you focus on it, right? When you have a plan, when you can, you know, have a mindset that leads to motivation, that leads to certain methods, that leads to you mastering the process, that brings control and simplicity back into your life. So that was the email that went out. And this person responded saying, you know, I have a very specific type of bipolar disorder and I use fasting based on my psychiatrist's recommendation and others that have shown that it can improve mood. I've had multiple serious attempts in my life of taking my life. I've had, you know, multiple different bouts with medication. And they wrote in saying, focusing on only what I can actually control is an excellent reminder. And that's what fasting has done for this person with the supervision of their doc. And they say, thanks for the work you do. Your reach extends beyond those that just fast for weight loss. So if you want to zoom out and look big picture here, and we want to talk about sleep and circadian rhythm and lifestyle adaptation and chrononutrition or chronotypes, or if you want to go down that rabbit hole, go for it. The links are in the podcast episode. But the takeaway here is that we need to find something that is going to fit us, that's going to feel right when we try it on. And this is why I love this concept of just trying different things and knowing that it's okay to fail, but fail forward. To look at that result and know, hey, okay, this is what I've been doing. Let's be honest with ourselves. Is it actually working? What's the best fasting schedule, Tommy? The one that you know you can commit to and be consistent with, because that's the one that's going to get your results. And if you need to go look for some ideas because you're stuck or you don't like that answer, head to the show notes, click the blueprint. We give you multiple weeks of what it looks like to update your fasting ramp up, how to increase your fasting times and some schedules that we find that work the best.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Tommy. Any final thoughts?
One final thought is that in order to make those changes and to take those steps, you got to step off the sideline. You got to get in the game. Yep, you got to make a decision, set a timer, go for it, and then see it through to the end and then see how you feel, see what the scale does. And then, you know, set your next fasting timer and keep going. So get off the sidelines and, you know, take action today.
Love it. Head to the show notes, click the link. If you want to join a like-minded community of fellow fasting for lifers, there's a Facebook community link there in as well. Come and join the conversation with us. Break the first two rules of fasting 24/7. Talk about fasting all the time because that is in who we are and what we do. Tommy, thanks for the conversation as always, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com. and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.